What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Check your mics. How are you feeling? They want to hear every word. I want to hear the breath. Is that close enough for you?
Yeah.
Triple check.
I'm a heavy breather.
Is this like too close?
No, are you a mouth breather?
Mouth breathing is like a big thing, apparently. Yes. You know, like, well, actually, like, sorry, like,
chewers,
nose breathing. Yeah.
I think that's how you're supposed to breathe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're supposed to breathe that way. Yeah.
But are
I didn't
you a
notice.
Mouth breather?
No, I'm not.
That'd be a horrible thing to have, like, on the whole undertone of the podcast. You're just hearing this humming.
I'm like, okay, we need to mute his mic. Okay, let's just start.
Yeah.
Chain smokers, welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Thank you.
I just got nervous now. Yeah. I said I wasn't, but now I'm not
ready. Alex just shit his pants. Yeah. He's like, fuck, let me take a drink. Shit. Cheers. Let's do a little another cheers. Cheers. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Everybody calm down. Mm. Everything's going to be okay. The boys are a little nervous, guys. Daddy gang, be nice to them in the comments.
I wasn't at all. The same with Alex, just right until we started. And now you're like professional Alex. And
I'm like, hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it's like
you guys have seen this many times, yeah. You know? And
but like, I'm much more scared giving like a best man speech than I am performing in front of like 30,000 people.
Totally.
Like
I think that makes sense, though. Yeah. Isn't there a thing Dave Chappelle does where he only performs in front of like 4 people in a room before
does
it? I think I've heard that.
That's
and it's 10 times harder to perform in front of like 3 people than a crowd. Have you done a best man speech recently?
Not that recently, but I killed it. I murdered it, my speech. Because you always got to, the way you start a best man speech, and someone tipped me off, is you just insult the guy who spoke before you right off the bat.
Oh, that's good.
So you like give it up for John. He did his best. And then everyone immediately is like, ha ha, you know? And
that's great.
And then you can launch into whatever.
So I tried that. My sister got married like the summer before last. And I tried that trick because Alex had just killed this best man speech. And he was telling me how good he did.
Oh, fuck.
And then I used like, oh, you tried your best. But I said it to like my like female cousin and it like really hurt her feelings.
She's like sobbing in the corner,
she was like
fuck
and
you.
And then she
Drew.
Like came and she's like, do we have beef on something? I was like, I don't know. I just heard it was a good thing to say. Like
and you just fucked
you did
it
a great you had a great speech. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was really heartfelt. Yeah.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice. Anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Daddy Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Daddy Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
So we were supposed to meet in Miami.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we were supposed to meet like so long ago. It's weird that we have never met.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that didn't happen,
why?
Given the nature of Bali. Like, it's just such a shit show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, every morning was like a way too late. And
okay, wait. I want to ask you guys, because I was going to say, what did I miss in Miami? Because to give people context, we were supposed to do this interview in Miami.
Yeah.
I got sick. Maybe I was faking. Maybe I was. No, I'm just kidding. I was sick.
Yeah.
And I couldn't make it.
Either way.
What did I miss?
We definitely thought about it if you were.
It's such a shit show. I used to be like a receptionist in an art gallery, and I would go to Basel. This is like 15 years ago. And you would go to Basel, and it was like one party, the liberal party. And then it was actually just like collectors and people that worked in the art world. And it was like really fun, but like really manageable. And now, like, I've never seen, I don't know where the art people are. I don't see them at all. And it's just like craziness, and there's so much shit, and everyone's has FOMO, and you know, like you'll be, I remember being at, I think it was like, you know, like Miles and Kygo and those
guys.
They had a party and it was like awesome. It was like Black Coffee was DJing. It was an open bar. It was a bunch of friends. And then everyone's like, we got to go to this Bob's party. And I was like, but why? I was like, this is great here. Everything's great. And you're like, no, no, it's better over there for sure. And I was like, I feel like the people over there are saying that this is the
same thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's like chasing the night. It's like fashion week. It's like, we have to go to 10 events. And it's like, I feel like this party's kind of dope. Like, let's chill.
Why don't we just stay here? And it's just like, you're constantly missing and feeling like you're, you know, in reality, it's like none of it's true.
So how did you guys meet? You guys have been together for 10 years. This is a thriving relationship. Drew, how did you guys meet?
We met, I was finishing school in 2012, 2011, and Alex had actually started Chainsmokers with another kid. So I'm not the original Chainsmoker.
Oh my God, where's he?
He's a dog walker.
Well, that was last time we checked.
Hope he doesn't watch the show.
Shout out. Okay, so there was an OG,
and
then you came in and swapped.
Well, from my understanding, the other kid wanted to go and do his own like solo career. And Alex was like, what the fuck? Like, we built this whole thing up, and
it wasn't much, by the way. It was like DJing and like SL, you know what I mean?
But
like,
it was
something.
And I like knew how to make music, like pretty shitty music, but I like was really into it. And then we met, and the other kid left, and he was like, I want to find someone who like makes music. And we got introduced by our manager, our current manager, who's still with us to this day. And yeah, rest is history.
Did you guys like immediately hit it off vibe wise, personality wise?
Didn't you have a funny, like you didn't know which one?
Oh my God. So I go to New York City. I take like the Fung Wah bus. You know about this? Like $13 bus that goes from like Boston to Chinatown. So I take that thing down there. And I like go and meet them at this club, but I didn't know. I knew there were two guys in Chainsmokers and they were both there and I didn't know which was which. And I remember just going to the club and meeting and both of y'all. And I was just like, oh God, I hope it's Alex. The other kid was okay, but I really hope it's Alex. And thank God he texted me. And I didn't even know because he texted me the next day and was like, come over to my apartment. And not until you opened the door to your apartment did I have confirmation it was you.
It's like a blind date. And it was like, what do you listen to? And it was like, I like Calvin Harris. It was like, me too. You know, what kind of beer do you drink? And it was like, but like in reality, what was really crazy is, and we did have this like conversation the first time we met was, you know, we were like, what do you want to accomplish and how do you want to get there? And we were like, both of us were like, we want to be the biggest, you know, artist on the planet. And we'll do whatever it takes to get there from like a work perspective. And then I want to branch out from there and create and use that platform to like get into other things that interest us. And, you know, it's like kind of crazy now to reflect back on that. Cause like we had no fucking idea back then. It was like literally like, cool, let's do this then. And then he moved down from, you know, Maine, and I like quit my receptionist job, and they were like, are you crazy? It's like a recession right now. Like you want to, you know, like go be a musician full time. And they were like, listen, we'll have you back, you know, when this fails. And now it's like nuts. Like I buy art from them and it's like, you know what I mean?
Dude, so crazy because it's kind of like a love story, honestly. We're like, you've been together for 10 years. You guys met on a blind date. Like, and then you ended up being in front of him and you were like, I really hope it's him and not the other one. And then you guys got matched up and
quite
you made
romantic.
This like, perfect,
it is quite romantic.
Perfect situation. Like it all worked out. So, okay, to people that are watching, I want them to like get to know you guys better individually through each other's eyes.
Should I leave the room?
No, okay. Because you guys are a couple.
Yeah.
But I want to hear. Let's start with Alex. How would you describe Drew?
Yeah.
To someone that doesn't know him.
So he likes to go like deeper with things, and I'm like, I don't want to say I'm surface level, but I like to cover a lot more ground. He is like the least communicative person on the planet. In fact, like, I think I like texted Madison Beer about a song yesterday and I was like, hey, it's Alex. I got your number from Drew because he sucks at texting. So like, I'm and it's not that like he doesn't care. He just does. I don't know I don't know.
What goes on in my head?
Yeah, like you see it and you're just like, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
you just like move
exactly
on.
Like, are you quiet? What do you mean you're not communicative? Like,
well,
you
read things, but Alex is also hyper communicative. So a lot of these conversations that like I'm on an email or I'm on a text thread, he's already said what I would have said. So
true.
Yeah. Do you guys find yourself on the same page a lot?
Yeah, most of the time.
Yeah, we're completely aligned like in like goals and all that stuff.
We've had our disputes, but it's always like you know, reconciled in a really like reasonable way.
You did walk into my house and say that you guys have gotten into multiple fist fights and punch each other.
Not in a couple of years though.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. Which might be we mean we're due for one.
Yeah.
But it's been
so you guys are just fighting over like regular shit, but you guys have an ability
to. It's like sibling fights, you know, where you're just together all the time.
Like over front seat in like Mexico, like
I don't remember even being mad at you. I think that was just
we
were like, hey, we've never fought.
Our time was in like in what's that, Mallorca. at a club.
That was bad. You know, it wasn't just that. Yeah. He had been pissing me off for a while, you know? And I'm sure I've been pissing him off for a while, you know? And then it just gets to that one moment.
Yeah, it was
where
building.
He just does the one thing, and I lost. And I initiate, I think, every fight. Yeah.
Wow,
also,
so are you hot-headed?
Not anymore, but I definitely was.
You worked on it.
No, yeah, I worked. Therapy and stuff.
Oh, you've gone to therapy?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever gone to therapy together?
No, we've considered doing like executive coaching, but not therapy.
Maybe couples therapy is the move.
Well, now I feel like really...
Yeah, we don't have like...
Issues.
Yeah.
You think that, but as a woman that's standing here that used to have being a duo.
Did you go to couple therapy when you?
No, but we should have, apparently. And you can always get ahead of it.
Yeah.
Okay, Drew, now you describe Alex's personality.
He's hilarious. Like sometimes I'll just be like making a drink and we'll be, you know, or just talking to somebody and I'll just overhear him just say the most outlandish thing to people. I don't know where it comes from. He also is like
filter.
No filter, and also the most insane memory. Mm. Like he will like remember. We meet so many people every weekend. We're doing like we've been doing 150 shows a year for the past 7 years, probably. Sometimes more even, and a lot of those are in Vegas where we're like hosting people for our tequila or our venture fund or people that we've just accumulated along the years, and. Someone will walk in and he'll remember like, I will be like, I recognize this guy's face. I can't place it. He'll remember that their kids are in tennis lessons.
Holy.
It's insane.
It's weird.
Yeah, so he's like, a good person to have next to you because I'm you where I'm like, I fucking know that face, but I couldn't even tell you the name if you put a gun to my head and you're like, oh, it's this person. They have this many kids. This is the address.
But then I'm the one that's like, all right, I'm kind of like done this tonight. And Drew would be like, I just like stayed up till 6 a.m. with that guy. And now we're like, like brothers. And so it's like,
I go deep with like one person or three people or whatever. Yeah.
This is helpful.
I'm definitely like way more like, I don't know what the word is. I guess it just depends.
You're a surface level bitch.
Yeah.
and Drew is just
but
in
he's
his
like,
field.
He's like, I don't know if anyone texts any more, like more people than you per day.
What?
Yeah. He's like talking to like, you know, the head of some like massive like hedge fund. And he's talking to like the bartender from the Dueling Piano Bar in St. Louis that we played on a Wednesday night in 2013.
It's definitely like an OCD like, crazy thing, for sure.
Okay. And you're not answering your texts at all.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah,
okay.
I've fully taken advantage of his powers.
That's really great. Yeah. What are your fans like?
Passive and chill. We have like the most like relaxed, nice fans ever. Like, we could just sit at like anywhere and like, I think we have like a really nice level of like celebrity or fame, we want to call it. Cause like maybe some people recognize us. Usually it's like they have to pull their phone out to like confirm the sighting. And,
so
and by the
do
time
that,
they do
that,
we're gone, you know?
And move on.
Or they'll just come up and be like, hey, big fan. And they just like dip out. You know what I mean? Like we don't have like any like rabid, you know, crazy story. I've told this fake story for like years about because we didn't have a fake crazy fake fan story. And that was like what people always asked us. So I just came up with one.
Tell me.
And I lied about it for like 7 years. And I became so good at telling it. I haven't told it in a while. But basically it was the story about we played the show in Italy. And there was this fan in the front row that was like dead, you know, stone cold staring at both of us. And it was like really awkward. And then in the middle of the show, she pulls out like a buzzer and just starts shaving her head, but like not changing her reaction. And then she starts eating her hair. And then we're like freaking out and we're like losing our focus. And then she just kind of just like disappears into the crowd. And
that's the story.
And no one was like, huh? And then we were like, wow, that's cool.
He told us in every interview, it made it all the way to
Larry King.
Larry King. He told Larry King this story.
And what the fuck are you? Did you guys coordinate this? Or did one day he just spring this in an interview and you were like,
he just made it up one day and we just kept going with it. Yeah.
And you didn't say anything?
No.
It was just easier than the like, you know, like I just didn't have one and I just wanted to just go along.
I wanted an awesome story.
Yeah, do you have one now? Is there like a crazy fan interaction you can now tell or no?
Fans are so pleasant and passive. They're just like, I don't know. You know,
that's fine.
If you're any fans out there want to do something crazy.
Yeah, like get after it.
Yeah, go for it.
I think you're very fortunate though to have.
Do you have crazy fans? Like girls go to?
Yeah, girls. Like I have some crazy interactions I've had. Like,
are girls crazier or guys crazier for you?
It's a different vibe. The guys are always Barstool fans, so they're like Cooper, and I'm like, oh my god, and they'll like bear hug me, and I'm like, hello, sir, and it's like it's very like.
Have you ever hooked up with a fan?
No, because most of my fans are women, but. I have had multiple
Barstool guys are like
no I'm like oh like, you go hook up with Dave. I've had multiple times where like a fan will chase me down and like give me a vibrator or like just something very, and like I still use it to this day and I think of her. Like, it's very cute. Like, but I would say my fans are kind of similar. They're very chill, very passionate, but they're open books to me. And like, we have like very cute interactions.
A podcast is very different because you're speaking about yourself so much and getting deeper into yourself by talking about with other people. You see reflection and all that stuff. Like us, they just hear our music and we're just two generic white guys. So they know the music, but it doesn't go beyond that, you know?
But that's why it's fun to sit down with you guys. You would probably be great on a podcast. You want to get deep.
I'm definitely going to launch a podcast.
I'm sure. I'm waiting
for it. I just need more time, but it's going to happen.
I could see you guys doing a pod.
It's going to be dark and dangerous.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to be there.
You don't want to be on it?
I don't have the...
It's going to be controversial.
I'm not consistent enough to do
it. Okay, right. You don't have the work ethic.
His is going
to
be like...
It's
he's got
be
stories.
Good.
It'll be good.
I'll listen.
One day.
Maybe. Okay, Alex, take me through your guys' like pre-show rituals and like how has it evolved over time?
It not much. Okay. You know what I mean? It's not like – I feel like the thing about for us at these shows is like you don't want to like build up too much like tension and pressure. It's almost like do the least and just like, oh, it's just like a normal day that happens to have like a huge performance at the end of it. So like the more that – like when we have big shows and like our whole team's there and there are lots of friends, it's like almost like builds up more anxiety because everyone's like asking you like, are you nervous? Like, are you excited? How are you feeling? Like you just feel more tension around you. So for us, it's like, you know, a warm up, like drinking some tequila backstage, like maybe work out earlier in the day or something like that. We have like a simple pre-ritual handshake and it's like gay time. But I feel like less.
Can you do it right now?
Yeah, it's just it's that. And it's just like,
oh wow,
super simple. Yeah, you can learn.
Really simple.
Yeah, more like
it's
just a superstitious thing that you have to do it.
When you guys are getting nervous for a show, do you guys really lean on each other or do you guys go kind of like individual mode, like ice, like just like sit there individually and deal with your stress?
I feel like it's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like we don't share necessarily like how nervous you are because that probably just makes everyone more nervous. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, like in the case of like Vegas, I mean, this is a weird example, but like if I'm exhausted and you can see it, like he'll step up and go harder and like vice versa or, you know what I mean? In that sense. So you can kind of tell when someone needs he's just clearly like, you know, sick right now or like we do play sick all the time. I think we've only canceled one show ever. Mm-hmm. And, holy you know, shit. And you're just like, all right, I'm going to pick up the slack and like give it a little bit extra today. So that, like, because he clearly just, you know, is struggling.
This is a real team unit here. I'm really liking the vibe.
It's very cool. It really is cool. Like, it's like, you know, the same way I feel like when girls can like look at each other and like communicate like everything and then guys are just sitting there clueless about what just happened.
Right. You guys are the ones insane.
Yeah. And they're like, we should probably go. And you're like, what? What did you just say to her? You know what I mean? And it's like,
that's such a specific and so fucking relatable of just being like, yeah, we're actually going to go. And you guys are like, excuse me. That was a good example.
Yeah.
So in 2019, you guys, after a tour, went off of like the grid and you kind of went on a hiatus. What the fuck happened? How did you come to this decision? Tell me about it.
Well, we just felt really burnt out. After 2019, I mean, I told you we've been doing like 150 shows a year. We had just like released our third album in the fall of 2019. And then we did a 42 city arena tour with Five Sauce. And we just got home. We're like, never again. Like that was just too much. After like a whole summer of like back and forth from Vegas to Europe every week.
There's two people that are making the decisions. How do you guys balance what's good for you individually and then what's good for the chain smokers?
I mean, we've been pretty on the same page in our personal lives. Like we've made a lot of sacrifices. And this is a big thing that we've been talking with our team about now that we're in our 30s, like well into our 30s. And it's harder, you know, and there's a lot of, we haven't gone to a lot of weddings. We haven't been here on weekends ever. You know, we sacrifice our weeks just, you know, last week, 2 days were just erased being on a plane, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think we've been really aligned on that thus far. You know, we've just been trying to get it and be successful and do our thing and not leave anything on the table. And I'm really thankful that we took that approach, but I mean, going forward, we definitely will have to be more communicative about like, hey, I don't want to be in LA this much, or I don't want to go to Vegas this much, or I don't want to do, and who knows what that's going to be, but like our lives are changing. So that's like a new hurdle that's probably coming for us.
Yeah, it's tough because I think you got to balance like you can't forget like how lucky we are to be in this position to begin with. And it's like, I see so many people like taking advantage of that opportunity and letting it just slip between their fingers because they think it's just like, it's hard work. Like there are people, hundreds, thousands of people, tens of thousands of people out there that are trying to do what we do. And they're working three times as hard as we are potentially. So I think like we've always had that like grit and determination. Like we might not always be the best at the certain things we do, but like I know we apply ourselves and work harder than most people at the things we care about. So I think it's ingrained in like the fabric of our personalities, which is like we're super competitive. Like we want to be the best. We want to get the best out of ourselves.
Yeah.
And we also like I feel like if I just ran into you somewhere in the street and you were like, hey, do you know, oh my God, like do you feel accomplished everything? I would be say like absolutely not. Like we have like very heavy imposter syndrome. So for us it's like we feel like we're just kind of also getting started and have so much more to do and say from what this, you know, chapter is. But you also, you know, like you do want to start thinking about the other things in life that like you possibly can get joy out of, because it's like these are probably all like really unhealthy character traits that like lead to, you know, a life looking back at like 70 being like, oh my God, like
what the fuck did
I took like three vacations,
chase the carrot all the way here.
But also there's like a balance where like you can really potentially accomplish really amazing things.
I get what you're saying, but it's interesting to hear you because like I feel like there's so many people that have success and you're so scared to be like wanting the normal things that come with life that you're like, I haven't been to a wedding in a while. Like I wasn't in LA for like a weekend, just like chill. And it, you can, in your mind, you're like, am I being ungrateful? Like, am I coming off like I don't appreciate what I have? But I do think like, I understand what you're saying of like, there needs to be sometimes a better balance. But that also is fucking weird because again, I've been in a duo where it's like, inevitably you both have different wants for like your personal life, right? Like maybe you have a different plan of like, do you both want kids? Do you not want kids? Do you want to get married? And so like you kind of have to stay somewhat on the same page. Like how do you guys navigate that?
It just worked out kind of in some weird way. I mean, we are very communicative about those things. And I think like we want the happiness of the other person. So it's like, you know, we've gotten this far. I don't think we were like we wanted, you know, we've always been aligned on the goals we wanted to get and how to achieve them. Like, but at the same time, it's like, you know, as you get older, you're kind of like, hey, I recognize like all of our friends, like all my friends are married with kids. Like I'm probably the last person other than like our agent.
But do you guys feel like, because it's interesting, like to have your job, which is partying and performing and like making people have such a good time. Do you feel like people or maybe like media has kind of pigeonholed you into being the same people you were 10 years ago?
I mean, we have
a
great relationship with the media and press. Like, absolutely not.
You said that so serious. At first, I was like, really, Alex? Oh, my God. No, talk about that.
Just glowing reviews.
How did it evolve of, like, who the Chainsmokers started as, from your opinion, and who you guys are now?
Yeah, I mean, we were just ultimately huge. That opinion about like the being pigeonholed, I think was DJ as or EDM as a whole. You know, we came up in this like super party centric, very drug centric like scene, you know, that's like kind of pop probably, I'd say like 2016. But that was like a whole, that was a wave that we rode to like relevancy, I guess.
We were young, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like you make mistakes. And I think, you know, much to our, you know, regret, like we've grown up a ton and like there's a lot of things we regret doing, but I think that's just like a natural progression for anyone. I think there are a lot of mistakes we avoided too by like, I think we kind of were lucky. We both went to college and graduated and and like didn't have like success at 18 and become super rich and that stuff. Like we understand the value of a dollar and like working in shitty jobs and doing, you know, putting in the time.
I can relate to that. Like, I feel like I had obviously like a very specific persona when I started this. It was like the sex girl.
Yeah.
That's the blonde that works at Barstool. And it was like, I definitely played into what I was given and the platform that I was kind of like going with.
Yeah.
But then it can get exhausting and be like, hey guys, like, I don't party like every night. Yeah, and like, I don't like have sex every single day, like 24/7. Like, so I think I can relate to you guys on being like, I appreciate how we came up, but like we've evolved. Like we definitely have certain things that are different about us, that it's not just party, drugs, perform, fuck girls and go to sleep. Not to get too deep, but like on more of a personal level, how have each of you like individually, I'll start with you, Drew, like evolved as a human being since the beginning of the success and everything took off to where you are now?
I've calmed down a lot. I used to be hyper insecure, and I'm still have insecurities, but like so much so that like it drove me, and I'm almost thankful for it. And I always like had this like thing inside me that wanted to be successful and just kind of, you know, do everything but be friends with everybody. And, you know, I had this like idea, and I was always chasing that, and I was always worried that I was never going to do it. And I feel like that like probably like negatively impacted some like relationships I had early, like through college. I just didn't, you know, I was so focused on what I was doing. And I wasn't able to be like generous, or I didn't have the, you know, the mindset to like be the person that I am now that I really appreciate. And I'd say that's probably the biggest thing is, you know, I've really enjoyed just being calm and appreciative and being able to like, you know, help people with opportunities that,
he you know, really is insanely generous to everybody and hosting people. It's actually crazy how, really? Yeah. Yeah, it's like a hostel.
Yeah.
You live in a hostel, or you host a hostel. Because are you kind of saying like in romantic relationships, or I guess even friendships, like you couldn't be as present and giving because you were trying to be selfish because you were trying to make something for yourself?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about you, Alex?
I don't know. I was trying to think of a good, like, reasonable answer to this while he was talking. It was pretty good. I mean, I guess if I could like reflect further back, I mean, my dad passed away when I was like 12 and a half or something like that. And I think that was like a very defining moment, because I remember a lot of people coming to me and being like, there's two paths. You know, you can kind of go that like fucked up route where you lose a parent and everything kind of spirals out of control from there, or you kind of use this as like a moment to catalyze like how you want to live your life. And I was always like an average student and had like terrible ADHD, and I don't remember, like at some point in like late in high school, I don't know if I just started making lists, like really something simple of that is like writing the things down that I want to accomplish and do.
Oh my god, this kid's lists.
And it just like something changed, and I do feel like, you know, in a lot of ways, like in college, you know, when I graduated, I was like, was a receptionist art gallery, like not a very like awesome position to have, like and I was not a good one at that. And then also like a DJ, and I think about like my mom and my friends that were all becoming like doctors and Wall Street finance people and lawyers, and it was kind of like crippling anxiety of being like, I can barely take care of myself. Like, who would ever want to be with me? Like, how could I ever have a family? Like, I literally am like stealing quarters from my roommate to get like Boston Market. And
Boston,
I mean,
Market's
like,
great.
Yeah. And he had a lot of quarters, so I didn't feel bad. and just like, you know, and it was like crazy. So like when to see like us kind of materialize this thing, it was like, holy shit. Like,
right.
I actually, for the first time ever, like can take like a deep breath on some way and be like, things might actually be okay for me and work out. And I'm just super proud of like the things we've accomplished over the years, and it just really motivates me to want to like just push it further and further.
Well, I appreciate you both sharing that, because it is interesting to hear individually, and it now makes sense to me how you guys work so well together. That's why I was kind of trying to like get, and I still want to keep going just individual to then get back to the whole, because it's interesting. I feel like both of you had such like a good drive internally wanting to make it. I'm interested to know like how has that affected your like relationships for you romantically, because the Chainsmokers has to be priority. How has that affected your guys' relationships?
That's been, I realize like looking back as hindsight's 2020, like a lot of the people I dated, I had to date someone that was down with what we were doing, which was really fun. I had a lot of awesome relationships that like were seriously fulfilling and fun. I think only in the past like couple years have I like realized that probably the person that's like down to do, they have to be down to do some stuff, but the person who's down to do everything is probably not the one I'm supposed to be with. I need someone that has their own thing that I have to go be a part of and want to go be a part of. But before that, it's been, you know, I realize my selection has been very congruent with like what served our business, you know, and we work really hard. And I think we're both now really actively, I mean, you for a little bit longer than me, like really trying to break out of our own heads and have perspective and be like, wait, this week is so intense. Wait, every week's intense. And if every week's intense, then I need to figure out a better way to deal with it, because this, what am I chasing, you know?
Yeah. Have either of you ever gone through a breakup that the catalyst was kind of like, this isn't working for our life right now as the Chainsmokers, like this relationship isn't working for us, essentially?
I mean, I don't think we have influence. I feel like that's one of those funny things. Like, you could not like someone's girlfriend, but, like, you know, not, you don't say that shit. You know what I mean? Like, out of the blue. Like, if he's upset about something, then it's an opportunity to speak. You know what I mean?
I hate her.
But don't be like, yo, I hate your chick. And you're just like, great. Well, you want to go to dinner, like, tomorrow night, all of us? Yeah, double date. Yeah. And not that, like, that's ever even been the case. But, like, I think, you know, like, everyone's on their own journey through these things. And I don't know, like, all the intricacies of what, like, he loves or, you know, about someone and vice versa. I think, again, like, why we'd never live together. Like, certain things are good to be, you know, kept separate. But, like, more importantly, it's just, like, you can tell what also when the other person is suffering as a result of the relationship. And it's, like, a delicate balance of being, like, you got to let them get there themselves. You can't force someone to see that truth. Yep. You know what I mean?
I get that.
But like, also at the same time, it's like, you know, it's tough when that's happening because you do feel it, like, potentially affecting, you know, the business. But but you're like, but again, it's like there are bigger things at play here. So, like, again, like, the ego doesn't come in the check, and you're not, like, busting the studio being like, your fucking songwriting sucks. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why are you so depressed all the time? And, you know, we're not making music. And
your songwriting sucks these days.
Although I'm sure heartbreak. So you're too happy in your relationship.
It's a great catalyst.
That is, like, that's toxic, though, because I had sometimes where I was like, I'll just go on the date because it's going to give me great content. And I was like,
it's like, things aren't going well. You're like,
you're like, let's go. This song is going to be fucking killer. Drew, be so depressed. Get broken up with. Like, do something that's and then get in the fucking studio. So you said you're in a relationship. How long have you been in a relationship?
About 3 years, maybe a little longer. Three and a half.
How's
she's great.
Going?
Really good. I mean, she's amazing. And I think, to, like, his point, what he said, like, you kind of acknowledge somehow, I feel like a lot of the people you date are kind of a reaction to the last person in some ways, like looking for things that were missing or didn't fulfill you in some capacity. And you kind of, like, stumble along potentially until you kind of unlock something where you're like, oh, I get what I really need now out of this.
You guys have very full lives and, like, you're public and, you know, I feel like you need someone that's not just, like, up your ass being like, Drew and Alex, like, I'll do whatever you want. It's like, I'm sure at times that's worked because you need someone that's going to be doing that. But in an actual relationship, the person needs to be like, hey, it's not all about you.
Yeah, and you don't just,
like, I have a life too.
You just don't fucking know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I really sympathize, like, with single people and people in bad relationships. And, you know, like, it's not easy.
What about you, Drew? Single, relationship?
I'm in a relationship.
Yeah. Okay.
It's, like, fairly new, a couple months.
It's exciting. Yeah, How'd you guys meet?
We got set up on a date a year ago.
Fun.
And it was the worst date either of us had ever been on.
Not fun.
Yeah, it was just, like, zero vibes, just misconnection, and didn't see each other for, I think, like, 6 months after that. And then last summer just kept running into each other, and then the bad date became like a fun conversation point. And we, like, hit it off on, like, the 4th of July, and then started hanging out then ish in August, and then started dating, I guess, like, September probably.
Look at the two of you just in, like, your healthy dynamics.
Yeah.
Have either of you ever not liked the other person's partner?
For sure. Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
How did you handle it?
I think Alex kind of touched on it earlier where you can't say, yo, this is, like, not right for you out of context.
Right.
It has to be – something has to happen and, you know, one of us comes to the other and
then
says –
But you know, I mean, like, you know, and you're always, like, hoping to be, like, he'll understand.
And we've all seen it now. We're, like, so intimate with our entire crew. We've seen, like, every, like, from our tour manager to our drummer to our, like, our agent. We've seen them all date the wrong person. And, like, we've all taken our, like, little trip down that road.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when it's happening to somebody else, you're like, that's never going to happen to me. And then it shows up in a different format.
Yeah.
And boom, it happens
but
to you. Yeah.
And while you're in that format, it's like, you know, you're like, yo, fucking, they hate her. And you know, but you're like,
this isn't right.
But you're like, they just don't know her yet. Like, I know her. And then you're like, no, they do really know her. And I'm just wrong about this.
Like, if that's the worst when you're in a relationship where when you find yourself saying that, if anyone is watching this and you're like, they just don't get it, that's probably the first red flag to be like, no, they get it. You don't fucking get it.
And that's the thing. It's like, you look about a lot of relationships and, you know, you can blame the other person. You just, it wasn't a match. It wasn't the right time.
Course,
it wasn't,
the,
it's not them. It's not you.
I have great breakup stories. I mean, there's all sorts of awesome things.
Do you
want to
share?
Tell anonymously. I mean, should I give the ultimate one?
Give something. You guys are saying
I'm not
a little
name
lightly
name.
Give, the pet cam.
Yeah, the pet cam is good.
Yeah.
Give
is, that,
it
is that the ultimate one?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Okay,
yeah,
give it to me.
Okay, so I was seeing somebody and, you know, over the course of the relationship, it was just like all these fights kept happening that I didn't really like understand why. Like I would just get like a text when we were like on tour and be like, you're a fucking asshole. And I'd be like, I don't know what I could have possibly have just done. And it would be like, you know what you did. And I'd be like, no, I'm asking, like, that's why I'm asking you. What, right. What did I do? And it was just like, and then she would like disappear for 2 days. And it was just like the most unhealthy, you know, and you're just like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I feel like I'm losing my mind. And one day I've lived, you know, this, my friend of mine, Craig, he's like an ex-firefighter and he's kind of the man, he's like Uncle Craig. And
Uncle Craig.
Yeah, he's a very Uncle Craig.
And, you know, I forgot how we got in a fight about something. And I was like, and it was a sort of thing where I was like, like, you know, when we were, you know, it's like looking through Instagram and being like, oh, damn, that girl's like super hot. Mm-hmm. Man, I'd be like, I wish on a star. And, you know, and then like the girlfriend would be like,
I wish on a star.
Yeah. It's a really PC way of, you know.
I wish on a star. I could hang out with that beautiful, nice, smart woman.
Yeah. But like, you know, it's like guy talk where you'd be like, damn, that girl's, you know, ass is amazing or whatever. And then like I got lit up about this. And I like told my, I went to Craig and I was like, Craig, did you fucking tell her that we were saying it? Like, you know, like a, like we're just like talking about this, how hot this girl is. And he was like, Are you kidding me? Why would I do that? And I was like, how else would she have known? Like, this is just weird. And he was, and it was like in passing. And he was just like, house is bugged, dude. And I was like, nah. And so anyways, these fights kept happening. And then on my birthday, the girl was like, I'm going to Cannes because I don't work in the film industry, but it's really important that I go. And which I totally related and understood. And,
totally. And she needed to go.
And so she left. And like, you know, and she was pissed at me, like disappeared, didn't say bye. And it was like, you know, I think she was going for like a few weeks. And I was like, damn, what a shitty way to leave on that note. But I was like, all right, you know, fuck it. And I was
you were really annoying on that birthday. You got really drunk.
I did get really drunk. I tried to fight the Elefante door guy.
Yeah.
Oh, not the Elefante door guy. Yeah. I'm sure he's so nice.
I had to give him $100.
Yeah.
But you were just pissed. You were in a bad place.
No, I was just hammered. Yeah, I mean, this didn't even have anything to do with her. Yeah. I was just a drunk guy. Yeah. And
her leaving had nothing to do with you being drunk, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to clarify. And so my mom hated her. My sister hated her. Everyone didn't like her at this point.
You hated her, Drew.
I definitely hated her. And at this point, I was like, I think I probably should call this soon. Like I was beginning to get those vibes, but I was also like, I'm such an optimist, you know, like it's hard for me to kind of like pull that rug out. So anyway, she bounces, and then I'm like sitting at like my table in my kitchen, and I just kind of see this thing out of the corner of my eye that wasn't there like a day ago. And basically like two exes ago had bought me this dog pet treat camera where you can like shoot treats out of it, and it's like motion sensor recording.
You know these
camera.
Things?
Yes.
And so the dog walks up to it, yes. And the camera turns on and alerts your phone.
Yes. Yeah, and you shoot a treat out. And so I'd gotten this gift, and I never set it up because it was just kind of just complicated, and we were just busy all the time and whatever. And I, you know, but one day it was like sitting on this table, and I was like, oh, that's kind of, you know, odd that it's out, but like it's not for a dog. My dog's not getting any treats, so surely this thing's not hooked up, and it's plugged into like the outlet. And I was like, huh, I guess my housekeeper saw this like hanging wire and was like, let me plug it in.
Such an optimist.
So I unplug it and like plug, you know, I'm a Juul smoker. So I was like, it's the only outlet for my Juul. So I would plug it. And this went on for like, in my head, looking back months, I was like, I kept unplugging this thing. And then one day I was like sick of like unplugging it and plugging it back in, that I was like, I'm picking this thing and putting it in a drawer. And this is annoying. Why is this out?
Right.
And this is like when she left for Ken, but miraculously, the thing is like back on the table now. And then it was like the Matrix. It was like, oh my God, I've been getting spied on for like 7 months by this fucking pet camera. And I get up close to it, and she had like blacked out the recording light, like really
with a marker.
And then covered it with an additional piece of electrical tape, perfectly cut out, that you would never have noticed it.
This bitch is genius.
And I was like, Greg! I was like, we got her! You know what I mean?
And we went on the security cameras, and there's video of like, she like walks downstairs into the kitchen, notices the camera's like unplugged, goes over, opens a cabinet, so she's already scouted the actual house security cameras. Yeah. She like looks up, opens the door, does something like behind the door for like a weirdly long time, and then closes it and leaves, and then the thing's plugged in.
Yeah, and so
it's crazy,
and so it was wild. And so I was like, how do we like broach this? Like,
do you confront her?
I was like, it's red-handed. You know what I mean? There's no like doubt in my mind now. Right. It's like sometimes, you know, like you'll be like, oh, so and so saw you at the club, like, you know, with this girl, and you're like, oh, I don't know who to believe, like. This was like, I fucking got your ass, like 100%. And so I was like, we can do a couple of things right now. Oh. We can like play along with this And like maybe I get like a fake ring and then like tell Craig I'm gonna like propose and like do
and get stuff. Her to admit it.
Yeah, get her to like see it on the camera and then but never like bring it up. You know, and just leave her in this like suspenseful while she's watching from Ken. You know what I mean?
I love it.
But then I was like, fuck, I kinda wanna just be single and have fun. Yeah. And this fucking camera. And
we were like,
house.
Please just get to that phase.
Yeah. So I just like called her up and I was just like, yeah, you know,
I got you.
And she was like so angry. She was like, what? And I was like, you tell me. I got found a camera in my house that you've been spying me on. She was like, you're fucking crazy and this. I was like, it's not, we don't have to fight.
It's so genius the fact that like she got an alert every time, like at 3 a.m. that him and Craig are sitting at the front table having guys talk.
Yeah.
So she watched all of his like late night conversations.
It'd be like, what did you say about like, you know, so-and-so? And you'd be like, I don't understand. Like, I've never even talked to this girl before. You know, it's like an Instagram person that like, you know, like, or he brings up.
That is so epic. It was epic. And truly so genius and so fucked up.
It is. Yeah. You got to give her credit.
I give her credit only if I was like in a position where like she thought you were being super shady and she wanted to catch you. But after.
I never. I was like totally. I was never a totally good boy. Yeah.
You were a saint.
No, actually,
I really was.
Like,
I really was in this one. Yeah.
And you know what? I think it's like that's almost like if you get someone's iPad or you get a way to like look at their shit, you have to stop eventually.
We wrote a song about that.
You did?
Yeah, it's called iPad.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You guys did. Oh, wow. Was it wasn't about that.
It's about going through the iPad.
It's about what?
You know why you go through the iPad, right?
I've been through the iPad before.
Because if you go through the phone, they delete text, but it comes up on the iMessage on the iPad.
Oh, I've been in the situation where I literally handed him the iPad. I said, open it right now.
Yeah.
Because he showed me his phone. I'm like, your phone looks so beautiful. It's like your mom and your aunt and me and your grandma. Open the fucking iPad, you piece of shit. And all of the sex and stuff. I was like, wow.
I was just like, yo, if you put it on the floor and been giving my dog treats, I never would have asked a question about it ever.
That
and
was her one
like,
mistake.
So like,
that's a great fucking story.
Yeah.
What were your guys' lives like dating wise before you guys became the Chainsmokers? I know you went to Syracuse.
Yeah, I went to Syracuse.
What were you like in college?
It was like college. You know,
it was just college.
I mean, like, yeah, you date a couple girls, and
right?
Then,
shout out to Makai.
Yeah, I was a frat bro.
Oh, you were a frat guy.
Yeah.
So you had a nice time.
Yeah.
And you went to NYU, Alex?
Yeah, I was a New York City boy. I was like a terrible club. I was like a quantity club promoter, not a quality. I loved, you know
that
what I mean?
Launched
I
loved, our career.
Were you actually a club promoter?
Oh, for sure.
This is so great.
But it was like, it taught me, honestly, like, I know this is like, shout out to all my club promoters out there, you know, making ends meet. It taught me a lot about like staying in touch with people and like, you know, like how do you differentiate yourself? Like a stupid night out that's the same night every night from a different club to the next. And how do you like, you know, like make your thing a little bit more special than the other guy or whatever that's the other club. And like for me, like, you know, I think in this part of my life, girls were always sort of a challenge, you know, like I was like stealing quarters. I wasn't exactly like desirable beyond like whatever crappy table I was like getting two free bottles at or something. And I think, but it did like, I think force me to like have a bit more of a personality, you know what I mean?
The self-awareness.
Yeah. Like, also, really I will attest, like, Alex's club personality is it's remarkable. There's no one better in a club. Like, he can have a full conversation, and he doesn't even hear the other person, but his reaction is so genuine.
That's great.
That keeps them talking and keeps them engaged, and then he'll just pick off, I guess, where you, like, left off. And, like, you're like, I love that guy. And he's like, I don't know who that is, and I didn't understand a word they said.
Yeah. I really respect that because the club promoter – you can be the creepy club promoter, which I don't think you were.
No, I wasn't the creepy club promoter.
Okay.
No,
well, we couldn't even, if you were, we would never know. Right?
I couldn't, but no one would have come back. No one would have come back.
Right.
Yeah.
But I do respect that. Okay, I want to hear from both of you. Drew, obviously I know you're both in relationships, but like, what is Alex's type?
I'm curious what line you're going to draw between all these.
Yeah, yeah. like physically?
Oh, just all around.
Kind of like,
I mean, I would say like up until his current girlfriend, who I adore, he's attracted to like some kind of severe issue. Yeah. For real, like think about
up
every
until
single
the
one.
Current one
up until the current one, like
just want to
like,
clarify.
We love Moo. Moo's great, close with the family.
Yeah,
like very empathetic. Takes all of our side. You know, like she's amazing. there was always something like fucked up with every single other one.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably fair.
And like that, but that's like what got you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like it made it like entertaining for you.
Yeah, I mean, you're also like, again, I don't know. You might be right.
I really appreciate the honesty, and I like how you received that. There was no defensiveness. You were just open, and you accepted that.
And none of them were the right ones, that's for sure.
Right, yeah. So, right, there you go.
And they're all great, too, in their own perspective. They just weren't great for me.
Totally.
But they all got like, one thing.
Severely, seriously, something is wrong with that.
Watch yourself in New York now.
Yeah, I know.
Nice on the street.
Jesus Christ. Okay, Alex, what is Drew's type?
I mean, it's a kind of a similar thing in the way that, like, I think both our current girlfriends are, like, very radically different from, like, the previous. Like, it's like something changed or clicked, you know, in which I also think it's true. Like, I'm not conciting, like, our last album release and changing our lives. But, like, in some ways, like, something did happen, like, in the last year and a half or 2 years with us that I think, like, whether it's our insecurity or just the confidence that we have in, like, ourselves or, you know, just, like knowing who we want to be as we get older. Because I think maybe, like, he liked girls that were like part of like the scene a little bit and maybe had that like if you people were excited, you know what I mean? It like it was like, oh, you can't believe you're dating that person sort of.
So like you're saying they were excited about the lifestyle Drew presented.
I don't know if that's like totally fair, like a common thread between all of them, because like some of them like didn't enjoy going out, some like fucking loved going out, like some like loved, you know, their power of their social media, and other ones like cared less about it, you know. But I think it was like a being out.
Yes.
Out there, you know,
out there.
Outside.
They loved the life. Did you feel that in the moment?
I mean, like most of the girls I dated were like very, and like I saw great relationships with all of them for, first of all.
I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
I mean, like, literally,
okay, they're friends with all their exes.
Like, my bridges are so burned. Like, I'm so, it's like Pangea. You know what I mean? Versus now, the world as you know it.
Oh, like, my God. You can't see them on the street. That shit will just
No,
get
I thought
crazy.
I was going to get stabbed last time I saw one of my exes. And I, like, had to leave out of, like, pure fear of my own life.
And then Drew's like, I'm friends with all of them.
They're everywhere.
They're all so close.
Like, they're always
We're not close, but, like, you know, I just.
It's chill.
You know.
It's chill. Okay, fair.
Like, what's there to be mad? But I was this is kind of done now.
Yeah,
that's how I felt.
Are you guys the type of people that would go back to exes ever?
My shit is burned. There ain't no one back. It's done. Like, it is. Yeah. They like go down and like
yours
flames.
Feel like they really end. Yeah. Dramatic.
There's no like hook. I think like maybe one time like an ex when she was like blacked out like showed up in my dorm and was like, I'm down to have sex with you like one more time.
Right.
And that was like 18 years ago.
Yep.
So like it was a long time since that happened. But I'm glad because I do see like a lot of couples have that like really annoying 6-8 month like weird buffer where you're just like, what's happening here? You know, like why is she still around? No one likes her. She doesn't like you. We know this.
Fair.
Like, you know, so I think in some ways like the hard cut is like important for both people to kind of move on.
Is Drew good at the hard cut?
I would say on more on the no side.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not good on the hard
cut.
Yeah.
But you're getting better.
I mean, I'm dating someone now.
You're
like,
good.
It's not like it's not, you know.
Yeah. But sometimes you would linger back.
Yeah. Like, you break up. I'm like, oh, we're still friends.
Oh, my God. Drew is the guy that's just
but I think we do
right on back.
But I think we both care about, I mean, it's like, I wish we didn't, but we really care what people think. Like,
I
you don't want to leave. Like, I don't, it doesn't make me, like, happy that, like, all my exes, like, blow my brain out if they could, like, see me. You know, and
have either of you ever been cheated on?
Probably. Actually, I know I have, for sure. Yeah.
How did you find out?
I'll let him go first.
Well, like, okay, what's the definition of cheating?
Emotional or physical.
Okay. Then, yeah, definitely.
Like, why? Yeah. What were you thinking of?
Yeah, well, like physically, I know about one time.
Okay.
But it was, like, the thing where, like, the girl, I was living in New York, and the girl, like, broke up with me ish was like, I need a break, and then like fuck some other dude, and I knew that happened, and then she got back together with me like 2 weeks later, and I was like So I just flicked through the old phone and boom, there
it
was
right there.
There it was.
Okay, but
you gotta look through for the best friend text.
Yeah,
not you don't look for the guy, you look for the best friend.
Drew knows. That's someone that's definitely been cheated on.
Yeah.
Is that what you were saying is like what considered cheating? Because what, you were on a break? Or was it a different thing of like emotional?
Oh, no, there's another like emotional thing.
That's rough.
Yeah.
How did you find out the iPad?
iPad.
It's always the iPad.
Yeah, iPad.
What about you? How did you find out you got cheated on, Alex?
I mean, I think it's happened in like maybe like two or three times. Or, but it was all for the best.
That's good.
But I think, how was the first time? I think the first time I was just like, it was just so obvious. You know what I mean? It was just like, I just didn't know how, like the, like.
Like you can feel when it's happening.
Yeah. I just couldn't figure it out. And like, they just, you know, they just lied over and over again. So you didn't really like have proof until finally, I think they just like, I don't remember. It was just, again, it was like someone told me and then you were just like, show me the map. You know what I mean? It was like, this is it. And then it was like, again, it was like a relief. It was like, thank God. Cause like this was like such a waste anyways.
Yeah.
But the really funny one. And by the way, like just speak in general for everyone out there. Like I actually don't think looking through people's phones is healthy, including my, like you have to practice what you preach. Like I think like on some levels, like if you feel like something is like really fucking off, then like, sure, go get your proof. But like, just because you like been in a bad relationship in the past doesn't like give you creative freedom to go and
like design a story about
shit.
But
in this case, I was like, something's fucking up. Like, you know, and I could not like, you know what I mean? And I was like,
wait, are you going to tell the Craigslist one?
Story.
Oh, nice.
What? Tell me.
I don't know which one's worse.
Craigslist?
This is like way long ago. This is like I was at NYU when this happened.
Okay.
This is like BlackBerry.
We're ready.
There's not even iPhones. Like, I don't think you could even lock a BlackBerry.
Okay, we're ready.
This is a good one.
And I was just like so over it. I was like this, you know, like this girl's being shady with a friend of mine that I introduced to her, like another girl. And I was just like, I thought it was like maybe like a drug thing or whatever. I couldn't figure it out. And I was just like kind of at the end of it and whatever. And I always had a problem too of girls moving in with me too fast, which I think is like a very New York thing to do. Cause like, it's hard to like survive in New York. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you kind of just like, come on and come on down, live in my studio apartment with me. And so I remember going and looking in the bathroom and I had no idea what I was going to find. And I was like, same thing, went to the best friend text and it was like, you know, all about getting blow. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, maybe that's the problem. She's just like, it kind of has like a drug problem right now. And she's wrapped up in that. Like, that's not so bad. But then it was like, like unveiled. It was like, how do we get, like, we're out of money. Like, how do we get blow? And it was like, I have an idea. Like, why don't you go on Craigslist and like pee on somebody? And I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh no. You know what I mean? And I was like, so and there were the emails. And it was like, she was peeing on people.
Yeah. There were the emails.
There they were. And this is like not tech. This is not like today's technology too. It's like BlackBerry. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And I was just kind of like, I remember just like, you know, I wasn't even mad because it was like kind of such a bizarre
I feel like that's thing. A good way to go out. Like it's almost better that it was like peeing
like
on someone.
Story.
Yeah.
Like I can't tell a lot of other breakup stories like this. This is a great story.
Right.
And it like wasn't a big deal in the like history of my, you know,
totally.
Life. So you like laugh about these things and you're just kind of like, I remember just like waking up and I was just like, you know.
Hey.
No, you're peeing on people and for drugs and just gotta call. We're gonna have to call it. Now.
You can't live with me anymore. Yeah.
You can't blame
and
me.
She's like,
this.
I didn't hook up with them, and I was like, we're getting like, you know, like we're really getting granular here about like what's happening.
She's like, it wasn't in their mouth. It was just on the. You're like, I don't want to know where you were.
I was more like, you're super hot. Like, who's the lucky guy that was like hit up some Craigslist ad to like get a girl to pee on, and then like you showed up like like a jackpot.
Jesus,
you know what I mean? Like, that's where my head was at. I was like, I don't know what you're charging. But like,
that is such an incredible story that I think you're right. You can take pride in that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not sad. It's like a once in a lifetime. She found her like niche on Craigslist and she went with it.
I just like how manipulated she got. Like her friend was like, you should go do this. Even though like they were both doing the drug. It was like, why don't you go pee?
Right.
Yeah. Like you're not in a relationship. And it's like, no. You do it.
Wow. Yeah. Alex, you've got some great story times today.
An old man.
Do you guys even talk about sex with each other?
Yeah, absolutely, all the time.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. I feel like some guys
I want to clarify, like, the sweater was a bad choice. I'm so warm.
Take it off.
Yeah.
Take it off.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
I'm,
like, really red right now, and I just want to clarify.
It got hot in here. Yeah. After Alex was talking about peeing and the women, taking the whatever.
I'm not into that shit, by the way, everybody, just for the record.
Otherwise,
I would have stayed with her.
Can we make sure the AC is on? We're almost done, I promise. I'm not going to keep you guys too much longer.
Yeah.
I knew everyone was getting hot. Do you want to take your sweater off?
I'm cool as a cucumber.
Okay. Drew's like.
I'm dying.
Okay.
I feel some heat, but I'm okay.
So you guys talk about sex with each other.
Yeah.
Okay. you guys obviously don't need to say like the name of someone, but when I say this question, if someone comes to mind, like, who is the best sex you've ever had? You don't have to say their name, but like explain why.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, I wish I don't know the answers.
Drew smiled and looked girlfriend. Up, so yeah. Go ahead, Drew.
I felt like I was very, first of all, it was someone I wasn't dating. Mm-hmm. It was like a hookup situation that was super random and like last minute and like happened a couple times. And I think like the spontaneity of the whole thing was amazing. There was zero expectations. And then every now and then, and this is really rare because, you know, a lot of times, especially, you know, if you really care about someone before you hook up for the first time, it's sometimes really hard to like perform how you want to perform and like receive love the same way. And I think on both sides, and, you know, kind of when you have like spontaneous sex with someone that you're just like into, you just kind of have like, there's none of that. But it's also really rare in those situations that you find someone that's like you're sexually connected with. Yeah. You know, you can have average sex with anybody, but like every now and then, like you'll have like a hookup that's just
great.
Yeah, you're both on the same page. You're into the same things. Your bodies fit together the right way. Like that type vibe.
That's really good.
That's a great answer. Which one of you is more likely in the past to hook up with a fan?
Toss up.
Yeah.
Really depends on the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get it.
I figured you'd ask Northeast, a question like that. Him. And like, when you say fan, do you mean like someone at our show or like a diehard fan? Because I don't think we've ever hooked up with like a diehard fan. Like no one wearing merch or anything.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. That's really fair.
Just take the merch off their body.
You're wearing my face.
Still hot. Yeah. Okay. So just like someone at your concert. That's fair.
Yeah, toss up.
It's a toss. Both of you are getting. Okay, yeah. That's fair. How often do people propose threesomes with the two of you? And how often have you accepted?
Get out of my head.
This is up to you to answer.
I don't want to answer this question.
It's call or daddy.
How often is it proposed?
Not proposed a
seldom.
Lot. Yeah.
Yeah, but.
It's a lot of man. For it's a lot of man.
But it's happened.
Does it count if it's internationally?
I'm so proud of you guys. Was it? What, did you look at each other differently that morning?
The first time?
All the times.
I think we were just like, what the fuck just happened? Because uh-huh. Like, it wasn't like they were never planned. You know what I mean? It was always like, just like, I don't know what is happening right now, but like, I'm also just like, I don't know. Where's that? Like, it's weird. I'm not going to lie. I don't know like how.
Like that's how threesomes happen though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In any way.
Absolutely. You know, it's usually never like, planned.
This is just starts. Oh, it's oh that. Okay. I guess we're doing that.
It's been a long time. You know what I mean? But in the early
to be
days.
Clear.
It was also like the days when we used to have to like share hotel rooms. Like, you know what I mean? Like we would be mm-hmm. in Europe. They have the two beds. They don't even split them apart.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they literally have two singles. So it's like almost by force we were forced.
Yo,
into
this
these
is, that sounds crazy.
You were forced to have a threesome together
by the European government because they don't separate their beds.
Right, you just had to make the most of the bad situation.
They just separated the beds, like America does.
Right. So you just made it work.
Yeah. No.
Do you guys remember your first one? Like, did you look at each other differently?
I was like, man, this guy's hot. I'm glad he's my partner.
Yeah. I think I'm actually blushing now.
Yeah, you are.
Now it's not the heat. Yeah, I'm actually blushing. I'm just so concerned about how what Alex just said is going to be taken.
No, I think it's great. I think
what part? The government?
We were forced.
No.
Not by the women, by the government.
Yeah. By the government. The government forced us to do all kind of things.
There's just a lot. I mean, we had a lot of mileage on these tires. You know what I mean?
No, it's good. Yeah. Have you guys ever been into the same person, and how do you deal with that? We can't even move on. We're just like, Drew's like, okay, I need to go.
Yeah.
It's okay. Drew, it's going to be okay.
I don't think we ever have hooked up with the same person, but I'm not positive.
You just said you had a fucking threesome.
True.
Oh, that's a good point. But like, I thought you meant like separately.
That's fair. Okay, fair. What's the one thing for you both that you're like, I really like this from someone in bed? For all the ladies listening, Give us a little tip.
I mean, confidence. You know, like someone who like knows what they like that can just take control. And like, there's a lot of people that just don't do that. Like, I mean, as you know, it goes both ways, mm-hmm. you know. It like doesn't even have to be right, just like confidence of like, this is what I'm trying to do right now, you know. And like, I think especially like from the beginning when you hook up with someone and they're like, I'm trying to like fuck you, instead of like, whatever you want to do is so much hotter.
I mean, can I just say the same, Sam? Yeah. Same. I mean, that is true, though, you know what I mean? But I think it cuts both ways also. Like, you can be confident and submissive at the same time.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
What type of women intimidate you?
All of them.
Yeah.
Your exes, Alex.
Yeah, all of them.
Your exes are terrifying.
What kind of women intimidate? Very stylish women.
Mm.
Yeah. Because I am trying my best with my style, and when I see someone who has it, like male or female, I see it as a form of intelligence that is just very subtle and tasteful. And, you know, I don't think I have amazing style, but I'm interested in it.
Yeah.
And when I see someone that just really kills it on either side, I'm like, damn, that person's got some swagger to them. I wonder what else they think about that way.
I'm dressed like a slob, so it's just like doesn't affect me at all. I respect it, but it doesn't intimidate me, but I respect it. I think it's great. I mean, I think any form of like self-expression like that mm-hmm. like really people really care about is like incredible.
Yeah.
And it like I'm bummed that I don't have the like capacity to go the distance. So
you got other stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you put on a sweater today.
Other things
like,
to worry about.
You look great.
Yeah, this is a cardigan that I'm very fond of.
Okay. This is the most listened to podcast by women.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say to just like the women?
Just make amends.
Yeah.
You may have offended on this episode.
I was going to say, is there anything you would want to say to like the women of the world listening from the chain
smokers? I feel like ironically, like, I mean, I grew up in a house full of women, funny enough. And I know like your mom is one of your like biggest inspirations and best like friendships.
Yeah.
And like I know in general, I almost feel like I have more in common with like the females in my life in terms of how we can relate to them. And it's just, it's really cool to have this opportunity to be on the show. And hopefully we didn't make too big a fool of ourselves. And, you know, I'm honestly a huge fan of yours. It's like really cool to see anyone, but like, especially, you know, you in this case, like create such an amazing brand that like inspires people. And I think that at the end of the day, like if you can go out and inspire like 3 or 4 people to say like, I can just be myself and people will acknowledge me for that and, you know, and celebrate that. That's like pretty much the greatest thing, you know, that we could ask for. Did I spin that? That was good.
That was nice.
That was good. I was freestyling out here.
You're like, how is that going to go with the press? Is that going to work? You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. Chainsmokers, it was an honor. Thank you for coming on Call Her Daddy.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys.
Woo! Sweet. We'll be right back.